I'm Athol Duncan, an executive director of ICAS. This is one of our career mentoring podcasts. The aim is to enable CAs to learn from other CAs who have walked in their path before them. We have members in 100 countries around the world, and our international communities are growing rapidly. One of the big opportunities many CAs face in their careers is whether to go and work overseas. The favourite locations are Australia, Hong Kong, and the United States. My colleague Jane Ambrose spoke to John Crawford, who works in Toronto, and Graham Kosh, who works in Boston. She began by asking Graham what took him to the States.
So I've actually been in the USA for about almost 20 years. I trained with Ernst & Young in the UK. About a year after I qualified, I took a secondment with EY and I went down to the Cayman Islands. And I spent 3 years in the Cayman Islands working in financial services. And then after that, I came up to the U.S. When I came to the U.S., I was actually based in the Midwest in Indianapolis. And left EY and I went to work at Deloitte. And I ended up getting transferred out with Deloitte about 8 years ago to Boston. I left Deloitte and I went into the insurance industry and have ended up at Liberty Mutual. We're a very large general insurer in the U.S. and also internationally. So that's I kind of took a long road to get from Scotland to Boston.
Okay, thanks for that. John, could I ask you to do the same, please?
Yes, I work with a small firm in Glasgow called Harry Caldwell, Kern Harry, who are still around. And decided after qualifying that I wanted to move abroad and took a look at two opportunities through an agency. At the time, the agency offered me two positions, one in Toronto or one in Hong Kong. Decided to take the option of working for Toronto, knowing at the time I would be transferred to a smaller office in British Columbia. So I basically left Scotland and spent quite a few years in the interior in British Columbia learning all about the logging industry and all about the terminologies and the whole industry around there working for what is now KPMG. Subsequent to that, I moved into industry for several years in that smaller community and then eventually moved to Vancouver and have moved into the insurance industry and have been involved in the insurance industry in various roles over the past 25 years, having lived in British Columbia and for all of that time, and also the British Columbia way of life. So that's how I ended up in Vancouver, British Columbia.
That's great, thank you. You both made the move overseas quite early in your career. Do you think there's a sort of optimal stage in an individual's career that they should consider gaining international experience?
I definitely think that the demand is there when you're, you know, a newly qualified CA. I think you have quite a lot of opportunity to do various things. So I think that definitely is a good time to do it.
I think the advantage of a younger CA, there are less family ties at that age, and also your willingness to adapt and ability to change into a new culture and a way of doing things is a lot easier than somebody who has a family and children as well. It makes it a little bit more tougher to be able to then change to a new way of life.
So maybe earlier is better.
Yeah.
Speaking about that need to adapt, what would you say the sort of main differences in work culture are between working in the UK and maybe if we take the US first, Graham, what differences could someone expect who came over to work in the UA?
I think it's quite interesting that the work culture, you know, the US is such a big country and I've worked in a couple of different regions and so the work culture, I think, is even different between regions. You know, I worked in the Midwest, it's a bit more laid back, and then coming to the East Coast, definitely kind of a change in working culture in terms of like the hours that you work and kind of the expectations as well. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time in London as well, and I found that kind of East Coast of the US and London, culturally work-wise, I don't think there's a huge amount of difference actually.
Okay. And John, what about in Canada?
Well, living on the west coast of Canada, which Vancouver is, there's a definite work-life balance concept within the Vancouver, British Columbia. Not saying that we don't work hard, but we tend to also make sure there's a work-life balance. And I'm in an insurance company, so we actually do practice that as well. So laid back is probably not the wrong term. We do a lot of different things in the way of culturally, there's yoga classes and various other things within the work environment, which is not a sort of wasn't a normal event when I worked in Scotland. So there's more of the emphasis from the employer to make sure the work-life balance is better, and also the ability to take off and go skiing and things like that is definitely not unexpected in there. But you are expected to put the hours in as well.
Would you say there's a particular type of person who's likely to be successful working overseas?
I think when you're going overseas, I think you definitely have to be adaptable and flexible. And I think that's probably the crucial thing, and kind of be prepared for anything that might come up.
Yeah. I think if you're saying, well, I want to have it the same way that it is in Scotland, then don't go overseas. I think you have to realize that, you know, Scotland is a country, and the new countries that you go to, you want to be able to adapt to what their cultural things are, and you can still be proud of your own heritage. And the Scottish heritage is well known across the world. But I think you also have to realize there are new customs and open to new ways of doing things and new ventures. You know, try something and trying it out is okay. And, you know, you can't necessarily get all your food supplies in one grocery store that were in Scotland.
Oh, I did have a conversation recently with CEOs working in Hong Kong and also Sydney, Australia, and both of them were quite keen to emphasise that an interest in sport they felt would help you very much to settle into these two places. Would you highlight that as well for the US and for Canada? I know you were speaking about skiing, John.
I would say if you have no interest in sport, don't come to somewhere like the West Coast, because, you know, this is a very sport-orientated culture. And yes, there is a soccer team, there is a football team, a Canadian football team, there is a hockey team. I would say if you're interested, you know, there's new sports you've never seen, like the hockey is in Canada more important than soccer. Not saying we don't have some soccer players. We have Kenny Miller, who was a Scottish international playing for the local team. So there are Scottish connections, and there are good cultural things, but new sports that you haven't tried. People come to the West Coast for that reason. I know I've met a few Scottish CAs who came here purely for the skiing. And the fact you can ski in the morning, you can play golf in the afternoon is the type of culture that you're coming to.
I'm coming. Yeah. Graham, what about in the US?
I would say yes. I mean, I would say particularly in Boston, if you're interested in baseball because of the Red Sox, that's very helpful. But, you know, football is becoming very popular over here. So we've seen a lot of, you know, supporters clubs, and there's a lot of bars in the area as well that you can't go and watch football at. So that's becoming bigger. And also skiing is quite big where we are as well, you know. So, and there's a lot of, like, ski clubs that you can join as well for young professionals. So, you know, there's a lot of different activities that you can definitely get involved in, you know, when you come to a new place overseas.
For, say, a newly qualified CA, or indeed anyone at, you know, a later stage in their career, coming to your particular areas, what sort of supportive network could they expect to find as a CA? Graham, do you want to go first on that one?
I think that very recently, I think, you know, what's been happening at the Institute has been very important. You know, the Institute's been starting communities worldwide. We have started a community in Boston. So there's about 30 CAs in and around the Boston area, you know, and I head up the group here. So, you know, if someone is coming to a particular area, whether it's Boston or New York or Hong Kong or Sydney, you know, it would be a good idea to reach out to the Institute, and the Institute can put you in touch with, you know, someone within that community there who can definitely help you, you know, give you some information about the local area. If you are coming, you know, can probably meet with you, and there's probably a group of people that meet on a fairly regular basis as well, you know, so you can start a network and have a support network if needed. So I think the work that the Institute is doing and has been doing in the last couple of years has been very important.
Yeah, well, what Graham said, yeah, we have a similar group of people. It's a good network. I would suggest anyone who's thinking of moving to a particular city actually go on vacation in that city, not just arrive on a plane for the first time. You know, come and take a vacation and then try and contact the ICAST members through the Institute, you know, who are on the ground and have a conversation. I've had a conversation with two or three people recently in the last year or so who are thinking of moving here and really helped steer them in the right direction as opposed to the direction they thought they were going in when they first came here. And that, you know, gives them an input on the ground as opposed to, you can get a lot of information via the social media. There's a lot of LinkedIn type groups that are available for people moving to the various cities that you're talking about. So, you know, look to using the social media to understand what's out there. And if possible, if you haven't got a job lined up, try and link up with some local recruiters as well through the ICAST members as well. Or even ICAST members know of available jobs that don't always hit the recruiting list as well. So I would say, you know, use that network and, you know, I think nowadays the social networks are becoming the main way to get jobs. You know, we do a lot of our recruiting through the social networks. We very rarely will put anything in the paper anymore as a job posting. That's totally gone the way of the dodo.
So, John, it sounds from what you're saying, am I right, that, you know, it would be okay for someone to come over who hasn't yet got a job in place? Is it quite easy to find positions for CAs?
Not easy, but it's easy to get doors open because there's all the immigration paperwork that has to get done as well. So, you know, there's technically, the job has to be advertised for a Canadian and has to be then say, no Canadian can take this job. But, you know, there are locations where we're always looking for CAs who can't ever get the CAs. So you may have to make a decision to move to a smaller city initially to get a position that then allows you to be more flexible. If you're very specialized, it's a little bit easier. And for example, in British Columbia, we have a lot of mining. So if you're a mining specialist, it's a little bit easier to get a job in that sense.
And any sort of specific advice you would give Graham for someone thinking about, you know, preparing to come and work in the US?
I think John has a good point about, you know, if you really want to come work here in this particular city, you want to be in to visit the city first. I think that's a really good idea. The immigration situation here is a bit different from Canada. I think I think if you just turned up here looking for a job, it's going to be very difficult for you to find something. So I think really the work needs to be done while you're still in the UK and actually securing a position before coming over, because the visa situation is quite different.
More of perhaps a sort of general question to each of you, but, you know, again, it may well relate to working internationally. Can I ask you, looking back, is there any particular piece of career advice that you've received that stands out as being particularly helpful?
It was pretty interesting when I ended up in the Cayman Islands. You know, one of the things that I had to do there, and it's probably something that we probably should talk about in terms of the qualification, was that when I originally went down there, I was told before I left that I was going to be working on mostly UK subsidiary companies and working with, you know, UK GAAP and then obviously IFRS. But when I got there, my assignments ended up changing and I ended up working mostly for US clients. So I had to learn US GAAP. So eventually what I had to do when I moved to the States was I had to take the US CPA exam. And so, I think that's one thing for people to consider, especially for those that work in practice, is that your CA qualification, you know, you may need to take the local qualification as well, especially if you're trying to become a partner in one of the firms overseas, because, you know, reciprocity is different from country to country. So, you know, one thing I would encourage people to do would be, you know, look into that before they come. And I think it's, you know, it's definitely a good thing to do if you're going to stay in public practice.
John, anything?
I don't disagree with Graham. You know, I worked in public practice for a little while and recognized if I was going to stay in Canada that I wanted to take the local designation. It was a little bit more cumbersome then than what it is now with IFRS. And in Canada now we're no longer CAs, we're chartered professional accountants, so not CPAs like the US, same initials, but we've moved to a different designation due to the merger of accounting bodies in Canada that's basically in the process of all being merged into one. So there is reciprocity with the ICAS designation still, but I would say taking the local conversion exam, which is fairly straightforward, is definitely good for the long term, because when you're looked at as an employer, or an employer looks at you and you're not a Canadian CA, you tend to get marked down on the list as non-qualified, even though you've done all the, you are a qualified accountant. So considering if you want to have a long-term career, it definitely is, it keeps you on the same level as a local candidate, and also gives you connections into the local community as well. Again, you know, using the social aspect of it as well. There's a lot of things run by the local institutes that are really good for young qualified CAs as well. So it's a good way to connect to the future positions as well.
Anything else that either of you would like to add or say to somebody who's contemplating working overseas?
The one thing that I consciously had to change was how fast I talked as a Scottish CA. So recognise that your speed in Scotland is not necessarily the speed in US and Canada. So you have to slow your speech down. And it's something you will learn very quickly, but it's something that some people still don't. I know when the Scottish CAs get together, it's quite funny because we all go back up to full speed. But when you don't, you know, when you're dealing with other colleagues, you have to slow down. And particularly with voice technology, your voice, your accent gets distorted as well. So you have to be conscious of that. And it's something I learned within the first 2 months when I was working in public practice. You get these strange looks from clients who didn't understand a word of what you said to them.
Okay. Try not to get you here, okay? any other tips in particular?
I would kind of echo what John had said earlier, that, you know, for a newly qualified CA, I think that's probably the best time to take the opportunity to go overseas. And then, you know, the other thing I'd recommend as well is while you are overseas, you've got a great opportunity to travel from wherever you are. So that's, you know, that's something, you know, that you should take advantage of as well, is you know, not just see where you're based, but the other countries around there.
I think based on what we're seeing, yeah, it sounds as if perhaps it's wise to do that earlier in your career when you're newly qualified. And in fact, that may be when there's most opportunities available, but also likely when the person's to be most adaptable and flexible, which, you know, both of you said were really key requirements there. We also heard that it's useful if the person does have some sporting interests that fit in with the locality that they're there, that may well make it easier to get yourself into the culture and enjoy what's going on there. Thinking about work culture, I think what came through very much was that, you know, big countries, it's not necessarily homogenous across, you know, different areas may have different ways of working and things. So to check that out before you go. And I suppose just generally to do your homework before you go, John. And I know you spoke about, you know, possibly spending a vacation if that's possible at all, just to get a better feel for you for the place. And interesting that both of you touched on, you know, the need to be prepared possibly to do the local qualifications, so potentially some more exams there to convert, so that your qualification is fully recognised. Well, speak slowly. That was the other thing.
No, I think that's very good.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Listen, thank you both very much for joining me. I've really enjoyed hearing what you've had to say, and I think you've given lots of useful advice for other people as well. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
If you're interested in participating in the ICAS Career Mentoring Programme, either as a mentor or as a mentee, please go to the homepage of the ICAS website and click the mentoring button.